Before we get started, I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that really has taken a lot of time and are going to be taking a lot of time this week. You're going to be tired, and it's a good tired, and I just wanted to say thank you guys so much. I just feel like I have to say this. I'm really going to miss my friend Sue this week. It's a tough week with Sue, and when I think of EBS, I think of my friend, and I'm going to miss her, so just keep the Mills family in your prayers this week. So I was told last week from a friend that this is usually the shortest message of the year. So we're going to see about that. Right. If everybody can turn to Genesis 1:1. Tony, we're going to start with you. So anyways, sorry. So the topic we're going to talk about today is forgiveness and love. This is a message that I was able to share with Miss Callie's high school earlier this year, and I thought I would do it today, too. And the verse I want everybody to kind of keep in mind this week as we're going through VBS is John 13:35. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. This is what this week is all about. It's so simple, okay? It's our love for one another that's going to prove to the world that we're his disciples. So please keep that verse in mind this week. The title of the message that we did at the school was Forgiveness is So Cool. So that's the message. Anybody that knows me knows that I love quotes. I coach football, I coach basketball, I coach baseball. I'm constantly giving my team quotes. They probably get sick of them, to be honest with you. But one quote from one of my favorite authors is this. It says, "Love like there's no tomorrow. Live like there's no yesterday. We're forgiven. Now go love people like we believe it." Yeah. Now how cool is that? Love and forgiveness, right? That's the good stuff. That's what we have to keep in mind this week as we go through VBS, right? It's never going to be like this at VBS, right? If it was, thank God. It would be way more, right? It's going to be all over the place, right? So keep that in mind. Love and forgiveness, that's what it's all about, right? That's what everything's all about. So I want to open up with a story that I heard recently that I thought was pretty cool, and it's called Who'll Take the Sun? Okay, a wealthy man and his son loved to collect rare works of art. They had everything in their collection, from Picasso to Raphael. They would often sit together and admire their great works. When the Vietnam conflict broke out, the son went off to war, and he was courageous, and he died in battle while rescuing another soldier. The father was notified and grieved deeply for his only son. About a month later, just before Christmas, there was a knock at the door. A young man stood at the door with a large package in his hands. He said, "Sir, you don't know me, but I'm the soldier for whom your son gave his life. He saved many lives that day, and as he was carrying me to safety, when a bullet struck him in the heart and he died instantly. He often talked about you and your love for art." What's up, guys? The young man held out this package. "I know this isn't much. I'm not even really a great artist, but I think your son would have wanted you to have it." The father opened the package, and it was a portrait of his son, painted by the young man. He stared in awe at the way the soldier had captured the personality of his son in the painting. The father was so drawn to the eyes that his own eyes welled up with tears. He thanked the young man and offered to pay for the picture. "Oh no, sir. I can never repay for what your son did for me. It's a gift." The father hung the portrait over the mantle. Every time visitors came to his home, he took them to see the portrait of his son before he showed them any of the other great works he had collected. The man died a few months later, and there was a great auction at his home. Many influential people gathered, excited to see the great paintings and having an opportunity to purchase one for their own collection. On the platform sat the painting of the son. The auctioneer pounded the gavel. "We will start the bidding with the picture of the son. Who will bid for this picture?" Silence. Then a voice from the back of the room shouted, "We want to see the famous pictures. Skip this one." But the auctioneer persisted. "Will somebody bid for this painting? Who will start the bidding? 100, 200. Another voice angrily, "We didn't come to see this painting. We came to see the Van Goghs, the Rembrandts. Get on with the real bids." But still the auctioneer continued, "The son, who will take the son? Finally, a voice came from the back of the room. It was the longtime gardener of the man and his son. I'll give you $10 for the painting. Being a poor man, it was all he could afford. Give it to him for $10, the people shouted. Let's see the masters. The crowd became angry. They didn't want to see the picture of the son. They wanted the more worthy investments for their collections. The auctioneer pounded the gavel. Who will give 10? Who will bid 20? The crowd became angry. The auctioneer pounded the gavel. Going once, going twice, sold for $10. The man sitting in the second row shouted, now let's get on with the auction. The auctioneer laid down his gavel. I'm sorry, the auction is over. But what about the paintings? The people shouted. I'm sorry. When I was called to this auction, I was told of a secret stipulation in the will. I was not allowed to reveal it until this time. Only the painting of the son would be auctioned. Whoever bought that painting would inherit the entire estate, including the paintings. The man who took the son gets everything. Much like the auctioneer, his message today is the son, who'll take the son. Because when we take the son, we get everything. So this morning, thanks, I wish I would have wrote it. This morning, I want to talk about a parable of another son. All right, we're working with lots of sons and daughters this week, so I thought it would fit in nicely. It's from the Gospel of Luke, the 15th chapter. It's a story that you probably heard many times, and you'll probably hear it many times in the future. We're going to start at verse 2. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered. They were a bunch of mutterers. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Then Jesus told them three stories, parables, of why he basically hangs out with bad people. One version says that their grumbling triggered the story. So don't be a grumbler. So he told them the story of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the lost son. In the story of the lost son, he talks about the son's repentance and the father's great love and forgiveness and grace. Again, the title of our message is Forgiveness. It's so cool. Right? It's a familiar scripture and message that I've heard and I've heard taught many times, but it's one that I love so much because every single time I hear it or I read about it, I get something new out of it. So let's get into it. So we're going to start at verse 11. Okay, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now, before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. Now the Bible doesn't tell us why the young man chose to ask for a share or his portion or his inheritance he would receive when his father died. But this was the younger son, right? Perhaps he was jealous of his older brother. Perhaps he thought this life wasn't fair. Perhaps he wanted to journey to another land, right? Be a big shot, have a fortune, have his own servants, be a master of his own home. But for whatever the reason he may have had, this young man requested his portion now. Now, in kids' ministry, we call this Baruch Assault personality. Does anybody know who Baruch Assault is? Baruch Assault, you might remember Veruca. She was a young girl, one of the fortunate five that found a golden ticket in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, but she wanted everything now, all right? She was the one that didn't want to wait for anything. She wanted the golden goose, right? She wanted it now, right? She said, Daddy, I want it now, all right? She's not quite as bad as Grandpa Joe, but we're not going to get into that because we'd be here till 3 o'clock. So whatever reason, this young man did not want to wait for the inheritance he would get upon his father's death, right? Maybe he didn't want to continue to live in his father's home. Maybe he was just bored. Maybe he didn't want to work in the fields anymore. But for whatever reason, he made up his mind that he, being surrounded by family, was no longer important to him. He had places to go, people to see, right, and things to do. Okay. If this was today, we'd be very familiar with this type of personality. All right. Most of us in today's world, I'm speaking about myself, but nobody else here. All right. We don't want to wait for anything. Right, we call it instant gratification. The other day, I was in front of my laptop. I check constantly to see if my beloved Sabres, have made a move. All right, and the nerve of my computer making me wait about 8 seconds for the page to load. I thought it had malfunctioned, and I was ready to go on Home Shopping Network and buy a new one in 6 easy payments. but we want everything now, right? Instant gratification. And that was the case with the younger son. All right? As a dad myself, I'm sure that the son's request would have hurt his father very much. And so many times as we watch our children grow, we see them kind of make the same mistakes that we made when we were growing up. All right? We know that their decision is wrong, but our experience in life has taught us that the grass isn't always greener. All right, we hope and pray with all our heart that our children will learn from our mistakes, that they will listen to our words of wisdom gained through our own personal experience. But the reality is, sometimes they just don't. All right? Is there anyone here, especially the kids, is there anyone here that's ever been hurt or messed up doing something your parents specifically told you not to do? Right. Maybe you were burnt, right, on touching a hot pan, or you burned your tongue by drinking a beverage that was too hot. Right? Anybody? How about any of the, right. But did anybody ever have a parent that said, be careful after the fact, like you stub your toe? And said, oh, be careful. Well, I would have, right. I heard a comedian say that. That's called good advice, too late. Right? So in this situation, the Bible tells us that the father granted his son's request and gave him a portion of his estate for which he would have received upon his father's death. Verse 13, a few days later, the younger son packed up all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money on wild living. One version says riotous living, as to waste or spend recklessly. So this young man basically became very full of himself, right? He had money now. He was hanging out at all the wrong places. Right? He traveled to this faraway place. He probably made many new friends. He was spending money left and right. Right, he attended parties, he purchased the best foods and wines and showed off, right, all his wealth to all these people. Right, he most likely bought expensive gifts for his so-called friends at the time. Right, he didn't work, he didn't need to. Right, he was rich, he spent. Right? Until one day he woke up to realize that his inheritance was gone, he had blown it all. The original title to this message was, What Happens When Your Daily Bread Runs Out? We were talking about that at school. Well, we're about to find out. All right, verse 14 says, About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded the local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him in the fields to feed the pigs. What a terrible fall, right, this young man had taken. He was far away from the security of his home. His inheritance was blown. He was broke as a spoke. He no longer had his father there to provide for him. The simple things. He had nothing. Where were all his friends? As long as he had money to spend on them, they were there. But now that no one was there to help him in his time of need, they were nowhere to be found. In order to survive, he had to find work, but there was a famine in the land. So he got a job with a pig farmer. Right? Verse 16 said, the man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him. But no one gave him anything. How incredible was this young man's hunger? That the pig slop, he'd fallen so low that the pig slop started to look good for him. It was then in the fields with the swine, the pigs, right? The young man began to realize and began to think about home and think about all the things he had taken for granted at his father's home. The Bible says in verse 17, when he finally came to his senses, right, there comes a time in all our lives when we have to finally come to our senses, right? He said to himself, he said, at home, even the hired servants have food, enough to spare, and here I'm dying of hunger. I will go home and say to my father, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me as your hired servant. Out in the fields with the swine, alone, sad, hungry, repentant, he made the decision to return to his father's home. He recognized he really messed up. He recognized that he had sinned not only against his father, but against God and against heaven. Right? He was in need of forgiveness. He felt he was at the point where he felt he could no longer call his father dad. That's a tough place to be. He hit rock bottom. Right, he wouldn't even expect to be taken back as a son. But perhaps if he journeyed home, his father would hire him as one of his employees. For even his father's workers had it better than he did. But here's the cool part. Imagine the scene as this young man started the journey home. What was that like? I would think that his clothes were ripped and torn. He probably smelled. All right, I would think that as he began to walk up the path to his father's house, the home he grew up in, he'd be rehearsing what he was going to say to his father. I would suppose he lost a great deal of weight due to the famine. Surely he looked much worse than the day he left home. Again, no doubt he was probably, that long journey, he was probably rehearsing, "Dad, I'm so sorry." He's rehearsing, right? I would think he had a very different attitude at this point, right? As he saw the house he grew up in, it probably hit him all at once that, oh my gosh, this is what I gave up. He realized that he made a terrible mistake and he was repentant. He sinned against God. He sinned against heaven. But now, weary and worn, he was coming home. His daily bread had run out. Verse 20 says, "So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, the father saw him coming." Yeah. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son." How many times in our lives have we felt the way this young man felt? Can you imagine how that father felt? His son had been gone a long time. He didn't know if he was dead. He didn't know if he had made it big. He wasn't able to go on Facebook or Snapchat or Instagram or whatever else is out there, right, to see how he was doing. Right? He had no idea. Imagine each day the father would go out on his porch and sit in the chair, look down that long path that led to his home, every day looking, wondering, hoping, "Is this the day? Is this the day my son comes home? Is this the day? Is this the day?" And on this particular day, as the father sat on the porch, looking down the long path, he saw a figure of a young man walking down that path. I picture him straining his eyes, looking, wondering, hoping, praying. As the young man grew closer, the father recognized him. It was his son. As the young man grew closer, the father, filled with compassion and love, ran and hugged him. And I love how Jesus used the term, he ran and hugged them. Men did not run in those times. It would have been seen as inappropriate if a Middle Eastern man in the first century ran. It would have been seen as inappropriate. They would have to hitch up their tunic and they would expose their bare legs. And that would be seen as inappropriate for a man to run in those times. The man took the shame himself. But he ran towards him. I imagine as they walked together up the path to their home, the father had his arm around his son and listened as his son asked for forgiveness. I imagine tears were rolling freely down their cheeks as the young man asked his father's forgiveness and asked him to allow him to come home, not as his son, but as his employee. I love the next verse because it's almost as the father didn't respond to his son immediately, but as they arrived together at the home, here's what the father said and did. But his father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Kill the calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast. For this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost and now he is found." One verse says, "So let the party begin." You see, a lost soul had come home. And when a repentant sinner returns home, God rejoices, the angels rejoice, and so should we. For which was dead to sin is alive again. That which was lost is found. I love the way Jesus taught. He made it so simple. So we're not even going to get into the message of the older son right now. That's a totally different lesson and message for another time. But I want to close with maybe the most famous verse ever written, and that's John 3:16. "For God so loved the world," and I was so glad that it was in the song, "that he gave his only son, and whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." And I love the part, and we went over this last week with the kids, that he so loved the world. That part sticks with me. He so loved the world. He so loves you. He so loves me that he gave. So thank you all for giving to the kids in our community this week. This might be a kid's only opportunity to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. This might be their defining moment. And thank you guys so much for all you do for the kids in our community. Forgiveness and love. Keep that in mind this week. They're so cool. So, thank you. You guys can go back.